Welcome back to another episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Prepare to have your mind blown by horrendous plot lines, unforgivable mashups, and so many explosions. Podcast not sponsored by Michael Bay. Suit up, strap in, and let's remake a movie.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is a very special episode. We have a very special guest that is filling in for Laura.
My friend Kyle.
No, we talked about this.
I know. Tiny comb, special shampoo.
All right, Josh, get to it.
All right. His name's Colin. Colin, you want to introduce yourself?
You just did. Why would I do the work you've already done for me?
And Colin introduces himself.
My name is Colin. I'm a friend of Josh's and now very close friend of these other two fine gentlemen. I do a few other podcasts myself, and I'm here to talk about what I think is going to be an achievement in cinematic pre-production.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Well, thank you. Those are very kind words and also a lot of pressure to live up to, I do have to say. So, you know, we're very glad to have Colin on the podcast, although all of you listeners have gotten used to having Laura on the podcast. She is not able to join us because she is actually going to Olive Garden headquarters in Orlando, Florida. When Joe Rogan got his deal with Spotify for $100 million a year, we were signed to Olive Garden for $100 million a year to do our podcast. Well, Laura was invited to Olive Garden headquarters last week to talk about some business, to talk about how we've been discussing the Olive Garden brand on our podcast. And frankly, we haven't heard from her since. She left 6 days ago and we're very concerned. We called the cops. They've said, we can't figure this out. It's a problem, but she's tough. She'll figure herself out. Once we know where she is, we'll tell you where she is, but we're going to proceed.
I mean, we got a text from her not too long ago. She took a selfie, but she looked like she was kind of in distress and they were building like a giant breadstick cross in the background.
Oh, no.
I'm not exactly sure what that was.
You ever see the ending of The Wicker Man?
There was also a throne made of fried ravioli. So I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I'm super excited.
I think Laura, they're going to pump her full of scotch to get her nice and calm. And then they're
right,
and then
because when I see Laura Darling and she's intoxicated, she just exudes calm and placidity.
Wait a second. They can't pump her full of scotch because she's probably already full of scotch before she even got there.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, she's already like very, like she gives no craps and she's just yelling all over the place. And then they hold her down. And then like in Wicker Man, when they dump the bees on Nicolas Cage's head, they dump a bunch of marinara on Laura's head. And then she's tortured to death.
So as a person who's never met Laura personally, I'm trying to figure out if I should be gaming this toward like, let's launch an Olive Garden rescue mission and paratroop into their raviolis with whatever Domino's abominations we want to arm ourselves with. Or if I should be patronizing her to get the unlimited soup, salad, breadsticks, and scotch deal that she's apparently got.
Ooh. So I'm not really sure which way this is leading. She's more important than the deal.
I, for one, am curious about how Connor is then going to justify when she does return to the podcast.
After he just said she was tortured to death.
He very much just killed her off.
Well, no, these aren't justifications. This is
well, no, she's gonna. Well, or will she be killed off, or will she be able to save herself at the last minute?
Or will Colin save her? Yeah, but
Colin will not save her. Colin is locked up in quarantine with three cats. Colin's not going anywhere.
Okay, so Colin and his cats are useless.
100%.
I'm in North Carolina, so I'm closest to Orlando, so I guess I'll have to go save her.
Sounds like a you problem.
The world in which the closest person to Orlando is in North Carolina is the universe in which we're all fucked. So why don't we just move on with the show? You know?
I would also note that it is, in fact, our universe.
It is, in fact, our universe.
Ravioli goes in the oven at like 450 for 30 minutes. You're not going to make it in time. Let's move on.
ravioli, shoot me in the headioli.
There you go.
Ba-bum. All right, let's get to the proceedings. This episode is the plot of Alien, the classic sci-fi film, with the cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So the gang is in space.
So I'm new to the crowd. So I got to ask one important question. And I know that the free form, free flowing nature of the show might not appreciate this question, but how the fuck did you think of this particular combination?
I thought it'd be fun.
We're not sure actually how we come up with any of the fucked up combinations, but we know it's probably illegal, some of the shit that we've come up with.
I think it's illegal in several states. It might be illegal in the state that I'm in.
Okay.
My ideas come to me tied to bricks thrown through my window.
That's not really ideas coming to you. That's assault, and you need to call somebody.
True. Yeah, I'm not sure how I came up with this. I was just kind of thinking of different like combinations that we could use. And I know Alien's an iconic movie. And just that was one that I thought of because I thought the gang on a spaceship in a very isolated setting, they would turn on each other pretty easily.
That's the thing is the whole dynamic of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is they're all terrible people and they all turn on each other all the time. Yeah. You can do some film paper studies about which sins, which evils each character represents. But the truth is, it's just unmitigated sociopathy put into a plot now, which is completely dependent on cooperation. And the drama of the film comes from not knowing whether or not that cooperation will manifest.
Yes, yeah, right.
But I mean, we've sort of deflated that immediately with this premise. Well, and I think that opens up a lot of new doors.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, there's one guy who doesn't know how to read, Charlie. There's one guy who's clearly a murderer, Dennis. There's one guy who is secretly gay but tries to overcompensate for it, Mac.
Sean.
Well, okay. Well, Sean, we have you on this podcast and Mac is a character. So that helps. That gives us some perspective.
Now get over here and help me grease up these beefcakes.
No.
Don't you mean chicken parm patties, Colin?
Okay. So we've got a closet gay guy. We've got a murderer. We've got a guy who can't read. We've got a woman who wanted to be an actress, but she can't act. That's D. And of course, we have Danny DeVito, who is willing to do literally anything for a laugh.
If we do it in the bar, Danny DeVito / Frank can be the alien.
Oh, okay.
With very little pretense.
Yeah.
Just imagine it. Gotta get back here. Like it
works. Let me touch your face.
Now, at one point, that's an interesting thought. I almost like the idea of them trying to imagine what it would be like to be in space. But I almost think that for the purposes of the show, they would just film it in the bar. But we could imagine what it was like to actually have them be in space. We're only limited by our imagination.
Yeah. Well, I guess what we got to think about is what's going to get. Also, Alien has more characters than Sonny, his main cast. So we got to figure out like who's Cricket, who are all these side characters.
I was thinking Cricket could be one of the grunts on the ship that they make go out and find the alien eventually because Rickety Cricket. And It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He's the guy who they always get to do all the depraved stuff they don't ever really want to do. And they ruin his life as a result.
What if Rickety Cricket is John Hurt and he's the one the alien busts out of?
Exactly what I was going to say. He's patient zero.
Perfect. Yeah.
Because he's just on the table like, oh, guys, why'd you make me do this? I just wanted to. And Charlie's like, no, man, it's okay. It's supposed to happen.
So Rickety Cricket is John Hurt. That's fantastic. I love that. Also, the only food source on the ship should be rum ham.
Yes. And I was going to say, I want there to be a scene at some point where the rum ham bursts out of someone's chest.
So what if the alien hides in the rum ham and then the rum ham is their only food source? So their only food source is contaminated with the alien.
It's got a face hugger in it.
The alien egg itself could be a rum ham.
Oh, that's perfect.
I like that. Because that way we're not trying to shoehorn everything in.
Yeah.
And we can just straight up make it the metaphor it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay. That's better.
But then this might be a production crew question. How do you visualize a giant rum ham chasing Sigourney Weaver / Caitlin Olsen?
We give the rum ham legs. The rum ham is sentient.
This is the script part. We don't need to worry about that.
Yeah. Wait,
no, and I'm thinking it just has two hocks that it runs on like legs. Like watching a cartoon runs with chicken
legs. That works. That's fine.
Well, I was thinking, why don't we just make the rum ham the actual eggs that the face huggers are in? Like, so the rum ham opens up.
Okay.
And then the face hugger pops out of the rum ham, right?
So they want to bring in rum ham because Frank sees the rum ham. And he sends Rickety Cricket to go get the rum ham so they can have food with booze in it. Then they bring the rum ham onto the ship, and that is what brings the alien onto the ship. So
exactly.
Okay.
So I guess let me, because it sounds like we're going to hew pretty close to the plot of Alien, which is the premise, obviously. Yeah. So, but what is it about the relationships in Alien that make the movie work that we can relate to Sonny? Because, like, if we think about it, most of the relationships are just hierarchical, but then there's the point where Bilbo turns into a robot, and you're like, oh my God, Bilbo's a robot.
I don't remember the
character's name. I just remember it's Ian Holt.
Ash.
Ash, thank you. Right. Ash is revealed to be an Ash. So there are a couple moments of legitimate subterfuge between the characters, but if we're asking Dennis and Mac to, like, operate a spaceship, they're going to argue about who gets to push the biggest button. And it's a totally different kind of tension.
Oh, yeah. Like I mean, I think we should have the It's Always Sunny characters in the setting of Alien. So, like, you'd have the same dynamic at play. Like, you'd have Mac and Dennis arguing over who's the more masculine man, who's more muscular, who's more cape, who's more jacked to take on any bad guys they may encounter. Mm-hmm. Not sure if we should have Fat Mac or Thin Mac, though. I was kind of going back and forth
at
on
this
that.
Point in the canon. We're at muscular Mac, we're at ripped Mac, and okay. I think that feeds your idea well of who wants to take it on more. Is Dennis obviously is going to feel inadequate because Mac is muscular, but Mac's muscularity is going to give him overconfidence.
That's correct. Yeah. I think
that'll be sick.
Mac thinks he's jacked. He thinks he's jacked. So
I don't know if you've seen him in the latest seasons. He is actually fucking ripped. Rob McElhenney.
He got jacked.
He put in work.
Yeah.
No. And in addition to this, when we're in Alien, it's important to remember Alien starts. They've actually been essentially in hypersleep or, you know, whatever you want to call it for several months.
Yeah.
And it's, I would say also that with the rations on a ship and the kind of labor they're doing, it'd be very difficult for anybody to really stay out of shape.
Right.
So I think Jack Mac is probably, not the most realistic.
Jack Mac, also
In the film, when they wake up from hypersleep, aren't they answering a distress call?
Yeah.
I was wondering what
it was that got them into space in the first place. That was kind of where my next question was going
to
be.
I think we can either try to make up whatever sci-fi explanation we want, which, no limits, sky's the limit there. But we could also make it this. Charlie just watched Alien and this is his dream journal recollection of the film. So, like, we can lean either way, and either way we can make it whatever we want.
I was also thinking like it could be another stupid business venture that Frank is one of them wants to get into. Like, Frank has a guy who can get them a spaceship, and as a result, they decide to go out into space to try and make money somewhere. Like in one episode, they try to sell gasoline door to door. In one episode, they try to take out people's trash. So in one episode, they try to stop the North Korea crisis. So there's all kinds of stupid things that they could do that get them into space.
There's also, at least canonically, Alien takes place on an interspace mining ship.
Yes.
Yep.
The Nostromo.
That's the name of it.
The reason I have a hard time buying into the fiction of they're actually in space is it's kind of the Armageddon problem, where it's like, why would you send up Bruce Willis as a driller when you could send up an astronaut, which is trained to do everything? And that question morphs into, why would you send up these people when you could send up literally anybody else? The only justification I can think of is Frank wants to save money and he doesn't care about his friends' lives.
that's absolutely true. Frank cares more about money than his friends' lives, including the two children he raised.
So then is Frank the command person who's like sending them the secret orders to rescue the rum ham?
Let's go.
And he's the one that betrayed all the crew to the rum ham.
He's the Mr. Wayland of Wayland Utah.
Yeah,
because ultimately you see that very famous broadcast, it's crew life expendable.
Yes. All right. So Frank is the guy who's running the campaign and is willing to sacrifice them all to save some money. And are they just they're just trying to go out in space for fun because they think it'd be cool?
Well, if we're going to play Frank as the mastermind, we have to do what Alien did, which is they're going out into space for one reason, but Frank is sending them there for another. Yeah. So where they're being sent out there for the rum ham.
Yes.
I can't say rum ham without saying it like Danny DeVito.
Rum ham.
So they're going out there because he lost his rum ham at sea, and he's heard about a new space rum ham that's even rummier and hammier. But why does the gang think they're going into space? It's got to be something vain and idiotic.
I think that they want to. He tells them that they can be space heroes, like action heroes, and they all go on board with it. Yeah, Dennis, Mac, and Charlie.
Dennis, Mac, and Dee are so vain they would go up for the fame.
Absolutely.
And I think that leads us to a lot of fun that we could do with the ending with Dee if she's the Sigourney Weaver Ripley character.
She kind of has to be.
But why are Charlie and Rickety Cricket up there? And I'm sure we probably have to pull one or two other side characters.
I was thinking the waitress could be on there. Or some other woman or some other woman that Dennis can have sex with because of the implication. Like, she's not going to leave in space because of the implication.
Waitress is 100% the person that should be up there just because it gives Charlie more latitude to be horrible.
Yes, and it also, he'd want to save her from the rum ham in order to save her life. Sentence I just said. Save her from the rum ham.
Every once in a while you say a sentence like that. It's just, it happens.
Connor, you're definitely on a do not fly list now.
The NSA is listening to this podcast. Absolutely.
Joke's on them, Mom.
That's going to have to be cut out in post.
Go ahead. Do it, coward.
All right. So Charlie's going to save the waitress from the rum ham eventually. They get the waitress up there because she's in love with Dennis. So they need an extra hand. So Dennis says, like, if you come up here, I might be willing to date you. He obviously doesn't mean it. But then that's how they get Charlie to go up, because Charlie will do all the Charlie work on the spaceship, like all the menial tasks that nobody else wants to do. And so that's how they get Charlie. They get Charlie because the waitress is up there. And Charlie is hopelessly in love with the waitress to an astonishingly creepy degree. And in real life, they're married.
I don't know. Have you guys seen the more recent seasons where Charlie and the waitress are actually together?
Yeah, a couple episodes,
Yeah, and it's just as toxic as you would imagine. So I think no matter how you play that, there's a lot of flexibility.
So we know why they're in space.
Yes.
Before we get to them getting to rum ham, what kind of tensions are at play? Because I think at the start of the movie, they should have been it's in space for a long time. So what kind of tensions are happening now? Do Mac and Dennis just hate each other totally? Dennis wants to kill somebody. Charlie still can't read.
So I don't think Charlie's inability to read his attention so much as it is just the best thing ever. So I think Dennis obviously can't survive without all of his systems and all of his schemes in place.
That's right.
So I think he'd be hitting space madness anyway. So he'd already be on edge.
Oh, yeah.
Would Dennis be, Sean, it sounds like you know more about the movie than me for sure. The captain character I know is the source of a lot of tension with Ripley in the earlier parts of the film. Would Dennis fit that archetype well?
I would probably say so. So Ripley, her whole idea is basically she kind of sees the danger that the alien can become. And ultimately, her solution is to nip it in the bud. We see at one point she's unwilling to let, I forget specifically which character is, but she's unwilling to basically help a character that's either being chased by an alien, could become infected by an alien. She's willing to basically, keep them quarantined and basically let them die in order to save everybody else, which becomes a big source of contention. It's basically, she's the leader of the camp that says, this is a problem now and we need to deal with it right away. Whereas Captain Dallas, the Tom Skerritt character, is basically the, let's take things one step at a time here. Leader. And they each have individual other crew members who agree or disagree with them.
Yeah.
So I think if there's going to be any contention, especially if it's with Dee, then he's probably your man.
Yeah. Plus there's a lot of tension between Dennis and Dee in general.
But they'll always be vying for control. And the fact that Dennis is in the command, is the hierarch of the command structure, I think would befit that pretty well, especially because he's going to beef it. And then Dee's going to be left in charge. And unlike Ripley, Dee's going to have no idea how to fight the rum ham.
Oh, absolutely not. She's going to be flailing around aimlessly. Also, it plays into an interesting, because Dennis owns part of Patty's pub and Dee does not.
Yeah.
So that kind of carries over.
Are they all investors in Frank's crazy space company and they think that this is going to make them rich and Dee just doesn't care?
The D probably doesn't care. I would say she's got nothing better to do, even though she lies and says that she's going up to research for a science fiction role that she's in.
But researching for sci-fi by going to space is the most D thing ever.
she would just lie about it. She'd just lie about that. She has a role in a sci-fi movie in space.
I'm going to be in a Battlestar Galactica fan movie. Can you put me on that Virgin space liner?
Yeah, pretty much. And they all just they tell her she's a failure and looks like a bird and all the other stuff. But yeah, the Dennis and Mac and Charlie made money off of dicktowel.com, which was their towel that has a dick drawn on it. So yep. They decided to invest it in this.
Like that. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Because in real life, they invested in a boat, which is a pretty funny episode. But this could be even funnier having them invest in a spaceship.
Now, okay, so for the lore, what's really important is we need a name for the spaceship instead of Nostromo, and we need a name for the company.
They could name the ship Patties.
I think that's a slam dunk.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Go Patties.
Yeah,
but is there a pun in there that we can think? I got it. I'll marinate on this. I'll marinara on this hashtag Olive Garden. I'm getting a fucking check for this, right?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, you might get a check. You also might get abducted by the secret Olive Garden police force.
I'll barter my way out with the amazing script treatment that we're writing.
Okay. You say as you're being you're being held hostage at midnight. This is like, let me go. First day, the catchphrase.
Okay, so if we have a dynamic between Dee and Dennis. Yeah. We have roles for Cricket and Charlie and the waitress. What is Mac doing?
Mac is just there to be a heavy, I think, just to be there to kind of be another like guy who helps runs things and also to lift stuff. Plus, you just kind of have to have Mac there.
Oh, I want Mac there, but I want it to be good. Why is he up there? Is he trying to be the first gay man in space?
Maybe. You know what? Let's say subconsciously, that's why he
does. Hold on. Before I get your podcast in trouble, I got to Google if this is a thing.
Checking if that's true. I was going to make a joke about looking for a big black hole, but...
That's better.
Let's go with that.
That's better. He cares about representation, but not as much about as he does smashing. So,
and I think he's probably the Harry Dean Stanton character.
Yeah. You know, okay.
Brett, the guy with the hat and the Hawaiian shirt, where it's sort of like he's some sort of technician. Nobody really knows what his job is or why he's there, but he is in fact there.
So I want to say that there have been LGBTQ people in space. Apparently Sally Ride was the first known LGBT astronaut. So something I was not aware of, and I am now informed. Hooray.
In fact, there's a lawsuit currently because it's the first case of crime in outer space, because one of the astronauts on the ISS at some point last year committed fraud and stole money from her wife or something like that.
Oh my God.
Oh Jesus.
Wait, hold on. Space crime has to factor into this. One of the greatest episodes of Sunny is Reynolds versus Reynolds, the serial defense, where they sue each other over a fender bender that turns into a theological debate. And I think that given how drowned down they get in the minutiae of legality, having no space law would make it a Wild West for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Space law. I feel like space law would be.
And Charlie would be like, I know a lot about bird law. I don't know anything about space law.
you could have lawsuits in space. I think there's all kinds of potentials you could have. At a certain point, we should get back to the main plot. Maybe the space lawsuit comes in after the rum ham starts bursting through people's chests. But let's get back to the main plot where they're flying around in space. Frank, you know, they're all bored. They all hate each other. And then they spot something on the planet. Frank sees it and Frank catches something on his radar and he sees that it's rum ham. So he decides to take the spaceship down to the planet, sends Rickety Cricket out to get like the rum hams. And then he and Charlie bring them back onto the ship.
At this point, Frank is the person calling the shots from back home. Do we want to pull double of him also be the Ian Holm Ash android character? He made an android in his likeness, and that's how he's issuing the orders?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Keep him in the mix and keep him involved so it's not so detached.
Yeah, totally. I think we got to have Frank there. So you could, I think you could have all the, like, the sunny tensions. Mac and Dennis talk about who's more manly. Dennis knows that Mac is secretly gay. You know, Charlie can't read. Dennis thinks he's a failure. What kind of tensions could be there? Maybe Dennis wants to kill everybody. That could be a thing.
Oh, very much. That's 100% in keeping with his character.
So maybe that's the tension. Dennis wants to kill people in space because they've been on the ship for so long that they have no idea what to do.
If he's going to be, would he be openly threatening murder? I'm trying to wrap my head around what would be a believable character turn.
I don't think he'd be openly threatening murder, but he'd be hinting that he's capable of anything.
Oh yeah, no, that's good. Yeah. That could easily be just like the quieter drama between him and Dee early on. Is she's like, you clearly don't care about the lives of anyone else on this ship, and he's like, well, you know, I can do whatever.
Whatever happens, happens.
Listen.
So you're admitting they're in danger. No one's in any danger.
Which would absolutely be the Dallas versus Ripley kind of debates.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, obviously they're siblings, so, you know, the sexual tension can't exactly be there, but, you know.
This isn't Game of Thrones. We're not going there.
Or Star Wars.
When Luke and Leia kissed in Empire, they didn't know they were siblings at the time. And George
Lucas. That's what they say. Yeah. I like that for Dennis a lot, because the obvious answer there is he goes up there trying to make a ton of money and get famous, but it's not working out the way he wants. And Dee is like, we have to be in this for the long haul. And he's like, I don't care. I want my money. I want my recognition. This is not going to get me laid. What's the point of all of this?
Yeah. And then as a result, he gets so desperate that he's willing to woo the waitress. And that's what makes him so resentful, because he hates the waitress. So he gave her one star, if you remember that episode. But okay, so Dennis being a sociopath and a potential murderer is really driving a lot of the tension and the drama. So
and Charlie is clearly susceptible to his manipulations, because he's trying to impress the waitress, and he'll do anything to get the waitress's eyes off Dennis.
That is totally true.
Because you said Charlie and Rickety go to get the rum ham. And I think that works perfectly.
Yeah. Charlie would want to do it so we can prove he's a man.
Yeah. Would Mac join them then? Because Mac thinks that no one else could be manlier than him.
I think Dennis would tell him not to go, and Dennis can manipulate him. But he would want to go initially, because he thinks of himself as like an action star, and he wants to be jacked like the jacked dudes in Predator.
Yeah.
In one episode, he actually makes it a point to talk about how jacked the lineup is at Predator, and that's why they should rent the movie for the 30th time. which is pretty, it's gold, frankly. Okay, so they go out to the planet, they get the rum ham. Were you going to say something, Josh?
No, I was going to say, on a side note, before we get any further, have you guys seen Alien Covenant?
No.
Yes, once.
Well, this isn't really a spoiler, but leading up to the movie, because I believe it was like, well, Danny McBride's in it, and in all the trailers and stuff, they like released like these like supposed clips from the movie. Yeah. James Franco was in it, and James Franco was the captain of the ship.
Are you fucking serious?
That's exactly what you're talking about.
Are you fucking serious?
So everyone's like, holy shit, this is going to be awesome. The movie starts, and everyone's getting woken up in their pods, and his pod catches fire, and you never see him once.
Yeah. That's so dumb.
You just see a picture of him.
They pulled a Janet Leigh / Drew Barrymore. Where they just chill off right away.
I was thinking of Deadpool 2, where the invisible person was Brad Pitt the whole time.
Yeah, that was brilliant. But anyway, I was going to say, we have someone that's like super hyped up in the trailers for this, but we kill them off in the first 30 seconds of the movie.
Yeah, we should have it be somebody super famous that they were really lucky to get. Like, it's Chris Pratt or somebody.
Because they love revisiting their own gag. What's a big fucking star pull that they got for the show? What's a big celebrity cameo that they got on the show?
The biggest celebrity I can think of that they got was, they got Jason Sudeikis to appear as one of their friends one time.
That was really early on. Yeah. He was the, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, like one of their old friends or something.
Yeah, he did the fucking dance in the jeans where he wiggled his butt back and forth.
Dennis and Dee's real father appears a couple of times, and he ends up super altruistic and wants to be involved in their lives.
I remember that.
Their money. So that would be funny if he was the one who was super excited and then died a minute in.
Children, I can't wait to burst into flames as the ship takes off.
Exactly. All right. So Dennis and Dee's actual father is dead. Their stepfather is a robot on the ship. And now they're getting the rum ham, and they bring the rum ham back onto the ship. I think that Frank should start eating the rum ham, not knowing that there's a phase, like they bring back a bunch of rum ham. I feel like Frank should start just biting into one, not knowing that it's...
Well, this is Android Frank. Is Android Frank going to get the pleasure out of it?
The real Frank tells the Android Frank to eat the rum ham because he wants to experience the visual pleasure of somebody eating it.
And he's just jerking off in his control room back home.
Dash the robot does eat.
Oh, Dash the robot does eat? Okay, perfect.
John Hurt dies, he is sitting at the table eating something.
The Frank can eat the rum ham. I think that Rickety Cricket should pry it from like robot Frank's hands, and then he should really start chowing down to the point where everybody else is really disgusted with him because he eats all the rum ham. But then eventually,
I think in typical Cricket fashion, it should be motivated by disrespect, where he's like, "You guys don't give me anything on this ship. I'm going to take the first bite of this." It's the usual vanity thing.
Yeah, and then he just chows into it, and then eventually. Yeah, everybody's pissed at him. They want their rum ham. Minutes later, bursts through the chest.
I think I figured out a good use for Mac in this scene.
Okay.
Because his whole trip, this whole movie, is just looking to be, obviously to benefit from the trip, but to like be as important as other people. And he's just not getting any of his satisfaction. So he sees Rickety Cricket being alien with the rum ham popping out of him. And he lays down on the table next to him, faking the same thing, pretending there's rum ham coming at him. So he's being, "Oh guys, me too. Guys, look, it's happening over here too." And nobody's helping him. And he's just like faking his own death on the table.
And nobody really cares.
And nobody gives a shit.
God. And that makes him so angry. Also, just as a side note, because Frank is a cheapskate, everything on the ship should function incredibly poorly. But like everything breaks down, like engines don't work.
Toward the end of the movie, when Dee and Charlie are like the two of the last people alive, and he's taking her around all the like secret parts of the ship, it's just like, why is everything duct taped together? And it's his standard of work at the bar holding the spaceship together.
Yes, the Charlie work puts everything together. So the Mac just tried to fake his own death. Nobody else gave a crap. And this, of course, should cause tensions. And Mac is arguing with everybody as the alien roams around and is trying to kill all of them.
Yes.
In the original Alien, it's kind of like once the alien bursts out, everybody kind of runs around separately. Mm-hmm. And just kind of, it's almost like the alien tries to hunt them off one by one and everybody else is trying to survive. Is that the kind of dynamic we should have here? Like everybody's kind of split up?
I think so, because in sitcoms, that's how you get interesting relationships, is by putting people with people you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
I think if we're going to give Mac anything to do with a character arc, I think he should be the guy who beats Frank and discovers he's a robot. But it would not be because he thinks he was betrayed for rum ham, but instead because he's like, "I'm not getting what you promised me."
At some point, Frank hints that he can't afford to pay them all. So this causes Mac to like punch him in the face, and it turns out he's a robot. Like, what the hell, Frank?
And then we cut to shirtless Frank with food dribbling down his check in the room, like,
oh man, they found out I'm not here.
Yeah.
Wonder what's going on up there.
Oh man. I wish I could have some rum ham. I really want some rum ham. I guess the cops are hunting for the rum ham.
Or they're the Olive Garden police.
Oh, God. We're all doomed. They're going to be down here soon, too. So before Mac, I think it should be Mac, Dennis, and Frank. Mm-hmm. It was one group, and Dee and Charlie is another group. So they kind of split up just and kind of their own things happen. Like Mac and Dennis argue with each other about like whether they're really friends, why they were going to let Mac die. And Frank's just like, "I don't give a shit about this. We got to hunt this alien." So those are kind of tensions that would play out. And then Charlie and Dee argue about who's the bigger loser, but while they're still trying to hide from the alien. Mm-hmm. And at one point they start yelling at each other, but then the aliens, the rum ham aliens, comes to get them. And then eventually they have to fight it back.
So if we're looking at the characters getting picked off, it sounds like, and I know I've propagated this myself, but it sounds like Charlie and Dee are going to be two of the last
I was thinking that could work.
So how are each of the characters gonna go? Obviously we're not writing a full script treatment here, so we should come up with good deaths for all the characters at least.
Yeah,
like how does the waitress die? How does Dennis beef it?
Oh yeah, Dennis. Yeah, the waitress should be alone, and she's been trying, and her and Dennis have been talking this whole time, and Dennis has been trying to do the Dennis system on her, particularly, mm-hmm. and with the expectation that she couldn't say no because of the implication. I just like saying that, which is strange, but it's okay. So that's been happening, but she's alone, and she's trying to get with him. I think Max should die because he's trying to be super macho, and he pulls his shirt off and tries to end up being like Rambo, and it just ends up blowing up in his face. And the alien just like locks onto his face and kills him. Whereas Dennis ends up like stopping to try to survive and ends up having sex with the waitress. And then as a result, the alien Rumham finds them and kills both of them.
We shouldn't waste the opportunity to have a moment there though, where as they're pre or during coitus, the waitress realizes that the alien Rumham is going to kill them, and yeah. Dennis is willing to let it happen, and he sacrifices her to get himself away, and ultimately
he gets killed
in the process.
Yes. Okay, so Dennis goes full sociopath. That's dark.
It is important to remember that actually in Alien the last two kills are basically a 1-2 punch, and one of them is, I mean, people don't like to talk about it, it is a sexual kill.
Oh jeez.
Then it's perfect. We stumbled into this.
Yes. Okay. So let's go over the order. First, when Dennis, Mac, and Frank are all together, they're arguing. Frank hates both of them. And eventually Frank tells Mac that he can't pay it, that he can't pay them. And then Mac punches him in the face, and he finds out Frank is a robot. And then
it's a scam. It's all a fucking scam. We're up here for nothing.
Yeah, totally. Frank wasn't even up here. And then Dennis is like, you son of a bitch, Frank. You lied to us. So I'm not sure how good that impression was.
Well, that's a perfect time for Dee as Ripley to start taking charge. Like most Sunnies, episodes, she's at least a little bit right until the end where she's still terrible.
But then but as that happens, she's just so inept with it. So she has no idea what to do.
She can't rally a single person.
No, but everybody hates her. Like even Charlie doesn't respect her, and he can't even read.
So someone says the sentence, birds can't fly in space, and then she walks out of the room.
that should happen early on, now that I think about it.
As long as we get to see a standoff between Android Frank and the Rumham that includes the phrase anyway, so I started blasting.
That absolutely needs to happen. So basically here's what should happen, and so anyway I started blasting, and then the way that Android Frank should really die, now that I'm thinking about it, is Mac punches Android Frank in the face and then finds it like the arm or something, and part of him comes off and he finds out that he's a robot, and then the Rumham comes in. And then the Rumham kills Frank first, and his last words are, "I'm Rumham. I'm sorry, Rumham. I'm sorry."
Well, if Frank itself is real, Frank gonna get any comeuppance here? Because he sold all his friends down the river. What's gonna happen to real Frank? We can circle back to that, but I think that's going to determine.
Maybe when Dee gets back there, something can happen.
Because the second that we reveal Robot Frank is a robot, there's no stakes in that robot's life. We don't care about robot's life anymore.
Yeah, and then he gets killed, and then eventually Mac and Dennis flee, and then Mac kills it to try to prove that he can kill, or Mac gets killed by the Rumham after he thinks he can kill it. Dennis does it post coitus. Dennis gets killed post coitus. So then Charlie and Dee are running around, and they're arguing about just that they're both fucking losers. So how does the Rumham interact with them?
Well, so at this point in the movie, and please fill in the gaps that I will inevitably leave. At this point in the movie, they're trying to get off the ship and get to the escape pod, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So clearly Charlie thinks that he has a really awesome way off the ship. Like he has an escape pod, but when we get there, it's going to be totally inept and like not finished. And Dee's going to be like, what the fuck is this? And he's going to be like, I don't know. I thought it was good enough.
You know, I know. Here's what should happen. Charlie should have like come up with a plan to escape that he found on the map. And Dee just follows it because she has at least some plan.
Yes.
But it doesn't work because Charlie's plan came from not reading. So
yeah, it's like, oh, here, it's like, did you follow the instructions? Yeah, but they were like super hard. I don't know.
It's like, Charlie, we told you 1,000 times you need to know how to read.
There are no pictures.
There's a picture. They need to put pictures on the map. It's so much easier to read if there are pictures.
So, I mean, at that point, however Charlie dies, we could come up with a funny way for him to die. I want to ask your opinions on this. Should D make it out or should D die?
I kind of like it if D makes it out. Because D will manipulate him into making a heroic sacrifice so she can survive.
Yeah.
And then Charlie feels like a badass for
yeah.
killing, for sacrificing himself to kill it.
I like that subversion better, that D survives, but it's not because she's a hero. It's because she was the worst one of all.
Yeah. Which is usually what happens.
Yeah. Like, there was an episode of Sunny pretty recently where they talk about hashtag Me Too and Time's Up. And she's like, you guys are all like so fucked up and always take advantage of women. And Charlie's like, yeah, well, you raped me. And she's like, I'm sorry, what? So that kind of flip is totally in keeping with her character.
Right. Yeah. So it totally is. So she would totally try to manipulate him in order to survive. But it also allows Charlie to kind of have the heroic moment at the end there. So like, they should be the last two to survive. They've got some and they're both brandishing flamethrowers to try and kill this thing. And then the rum ham goes after them, and eventually, as they're about to escape, the rum ham is just turned into a full face hugger, or full big
xenomorph.
Yeah,
full xenomorph. Yeah,
yeah, full xenomorph. And eventually, they just flail around trying to kill it. They're both screaming and shouting. There's only one escape pod left, but then D tells Charlie like he can have a hero. Like if he goes back to Earth, he's just going to be a janitor and do miserable work the rest of his life. But if he does this, he'll be a hero badass, and D will tell her story.
And that gets him to try and kill
the alien to sacrifice himself.
We forgot the most important character in the movie, which is Jones the cat.
Oh, that's right. Shoot.
Well, D has cats.
D has cats. So what if at the end the manipulation is there are two seats in the escape pod? And she's like, well, one has to be for the cat. And Charlie's like, I don't know. I think I'm more important than a cat.
Yeah, I can fit in your pod.
I can sit next to the cat. She's like, no, the cat is innocent. We have to protect the cat. I'll tell your story, Charlie. And like, she's flying away and he's in there like, I don't know about this.
But then the alien comes in there and he just shouts and screams and eventually kills the alien as D goes to safety.
Oh yeah, he has his blaze of glory, but he hates every second of it. He hates that he got played again.
He kills the alien, sets it on fire, and he sets the alien on fire, the rum ham, and then he just looks at as the escape pod is escaping, and he's just like, God damn it, D. And then he dies, and then D escapes. I think we just got to the end where we're going to make, I assume we're making a sequel where D is the main character.
I was going to say what we have now is a post-credits press conference where Frank drunkenly rambles what happened to the spaceship and why the mission was doomed to fail the whole time.
Yeah.
But that he salutes his brave fucking people, and then D crash lands is like, Frank, what the fuck?
Frank, you son of a bitch! You almost killed us! And then Frank should be eating an actual rum ham at the press conference. He's like, oh, gee! You're alive. Thank God you're alive. But it's so sad that it was unavoidable that the other were going to die. Others were going to die. And then D just shouts out that, yeah, she was going to kill. He was going to kill them all and didn't care.
And here's another piece we can add at the end. So does anybody, you know, here's a fun trivia fact. What happens to Weyland-Yutani, the evil company from Alien?
No idea.
I couldn't tell you. I've seen Alien, Aliens, and Prometheus one time each.
Gotcha. It's bought out by, drumroll, Walmart.
Is that real?
That's what happens to the big evil corporation.
Tapestries, Ridley. Yeah.
So, which begs the question, could this failed venture bankrupt Frank and Patty's to the point where they have to sell off to, I don't know, Bennigan's or something.
They sell off to Olive Garden.
So I want to ask, is this going to be a South Park style thing where it's so procedural that if someone dies, it doesn't matter? Or does this have to end and everyone's still alive so we can go on to the next episode out of this? Because I'm sure there's a million ways that we could spin it. The rum ham wasn't killing people, but I don't know how that undermines the whole movie. So
I have no idea. I think they could have it to where it was all a dream or all imagined. They could have it to where they're forced ghosts. They could have it to where.
Wait, what if they were all on angel dust?
That's so good.
They were hallucinating the whole time.
Yeah. They were all fucking tripping in the bathroom.
Yeah.
There we go.
While watching it. That's so fucking good.
And then Frank didn't do it. And he was just separate eating some rum ham.
Yeah, and he's sitting over there is like, oh yeah, I put it all in your drinks. I didn't know where else to put it.
This is befitting the most messed up, unforgivable episode that we've ever come up with. This is the most messed up, unforgivable ending we've ever created. Okay, one last note. I just thought, like, because Mac thinks of himself as he can do a lot of karate. So maybe instead of, like, trying to be Rambo, he tried to pull off his karate moves on the rum ham alien and just got murdered instantly.
I want to watch that scene so hard of someone dressed up as a giant wet ham. Fist fighting Rob McElhenney.
Does the ham have like the second mouth like the xenomorph does?
Hell yeah, where it pops out?
God.
Oh yeah.
Here's the thing. It's fun to spitball these ideas, but I cannot imagine what would happen if you gave a costuming and a props department, if you gave them a budget and you said, make the xenomorph rum ham, go nuts. Unlimited budget. Develop the prosthesis. We're not CGIing this. Make it work.
They spend $500 million.
Which is more expensive than the Baby Yoda puppet.
No, it's more expensive than the cost of Force Awakens and Last Jedi combined.
God. It's sunny, it will somehow be less divisive while being much more offensive.
It puts 20th Century Studios in bankruptcy before it's even over.
And then they all go back to Patty's.
Oh man.
Oh God.
So
I'd watch that two-parter. I'd watch that two-parter of Sunny.
This would be a great episode of Sunny. Not the best extension of the Alien saga, but
doesn't the Alien saga have its own problems with its own
extension? I'm pretty sure it's better than Resurrection. It's
better than Resurrection and the one David Fincher directed, Alien 3. And it's better than both Alien versus Predator movies.
I like the first Alien versus Predator. The second one,
yeah, fair enough. But
they're fun, is what they are. High quality, no. Fun, yes.
Fair enough.
If we're going to expand the universe, Alien versus Predator, Rumham versus...
We already had Rumham versus Cricket and Rumham 1.
If we're talking Aliens, the James Cameron, then it's just a horde of Rumhams.
Yes, that's right.
It's the Rumhams take over the next expedition completely. Yes,
that's right.
Well, I'm saying like for the crossover though, like with another franchise.
Well, would it be another in joke for Sunny, or would it be crossing over with another venerated comedy franchise?
I was thinking another Sunny reference.
Yeah.
Like Rumham versus Nightman.
That's good. I can't remember. What's the name of that fucking action movie they all watch?
Oh, Thundergun.
Thundergun.
Rumham versus Thundergun. That's awesome. That's perfect.
Rumham versus Thundergun. I want to see that episode. I think we cracked it.
We made the film. We made the sequel. We made the spinoff. And let's be honest, Alien Rumham, Alien Rumhams, and Rumham versus Nightman would be way better than Alien 3, Alien Resurrection, and the second Alien versus Predator.
Wait, what's the name of this Sunny episode? The gang goes to space seems too easy.
We were thinking Alien Rumham, like just something like that. That's pretty basic, but it's always Sunny in Philadelphia, Alien Rumham.
Sunny aboard the
Alien Rumham, but it's Alien and the Rumham is super script like all other so it's just tiny Rumham above it, stylized like all the other Alien movies.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. Oh man, this was an episode. This was something else. So any other big burning thoughts on how we'd expand the universe, like different things that we would add? I don't know, like I think we touched on everything. Is there any other thoughts?
Does anyone have Ridley Scott's phone number?
This is going to shock you. No.
I don't either.
Oh, dang, wow.
I was hoping I would.
I could DM him on Twitter if he's on Twitter.
And just write, look what we've done.
Ridley Scott, I apologize.
This is really DM, dark. But
I would DM him on Twitter. Ridley Scott, I do not apologize. Thank you so much for to Colin for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me. I had a lot more to say than I expected about anything pertaining to this particular monstrous hybrid.
I did monstrous in more ways than one. But
And Colin, after recording this podcast, do you have any kind of urge to go to some sort of Italian restaurant? Maybe like a restaurant that pretends to be fancy, but really all the food's microwaved?
and in particular, if they don't put salt in their pasta water.
Well, here's the thing. I negotiated my contract poorly, and I have yet to receive payment. So once that check shows up, I'll send you a recording of my endorsement.
Woo!
Sounds like a deal. Colin, what are some of the other podcasts that people can check you out at?
I run a couple of probably the one that I'm most active in right now is called Dice Populi. It is a tabletop role playing series that I put a lot of work into and I'm super proud of. But if you go to dicepopuli.com, you'll see I have two other shows there, just sort of a geek roundtable and one where I keep in touch with one of my friends who moved away. But yeah, Dice Populi, dicepopuli.com. You'll see the stuff there. Super proud of it. Super fun stuff. And thank you for letting me sell that. Now, do I make the check out to you or Olive Garden?
It just goes directly to Olive Garden. It's cheaper. We would end up having to pay them anyway.
Guys, you got a really fun sponsorship deal.
I mean, they got all the money. Okay, so thank you so much, Colin, for joining us. Check out those fine podcasts that he's on. And thank you so much for listening to us and this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Connor, give us some It's Always Sunny, Nightman Cometh. Play us out.
They took you, Dayman, on that ship to die. Then the alien burst through Cricket's chest and the crew dropped like flies. But soon only Dayman and the alien were left, and the Dayman saved the day. Fighter of the Rumham, savior of us all. When Mac and Dennis were killed and Dee was next, he answered the call. Dayman, oh, fighter of the Rumham, savior of us all. When Mac and Dennis were killed and Dee was next, he answered the call. Fighter of the Rumham, savior of us all. When Mac and Dennis were killed and Dee was next, he answered the call. Dayman.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you want to support us, like, subscribe, and if you're listening on Apple, rate us 5 stars. We are available on all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Let's Remake a Movie, and send us your ideas for which movies we should remake next. Thank you so much, and see you next time.